This is CBSI in the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. Speaking of Mexico, I read the headlines in these last hours. Mexico has a president who's extremely popular, to read the polling. He is not going to run for re-election, however. He does, at the same time, have ambitions within this second half of his term. One of those ambitions looks to be, generally, to concentrate power in the executive. Therefore, this headline is puzzling. Mexico president decries treason after power reforms defeated. Lead graph, this is reported from Agence France. Mexican lawmakers rejected constitutional electricity reforms at the center of diplomatic tensions with the United States in a blow to President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who accused his opponents Monday of betraying the nation. López Obrador promoted the changes to strengthen the state-owned electricity provider and roll back the effects of liberalization under previous governments that he says benefited private companies. Professor, there's a tangle of ironies within this. The president of Mexico is unhappy with the U.S., with his own lawmakers, with liberalization, meaning private enterprise. How does this help him in the second half of his term?
AMLO is an old school style politician, rallies unions, believes in a major role for the state in trying to take Mexico forward. And so in that context, you had a series of laws largely privatizing the electricity sector. The state entity, the CFE, had to supply a certain amount of electricity, but they brought in private companies. They allowed private companies to have incentives for generating oftentimes cleaner energy. And it was succeeding to a degree, but there was a lot of criticism that the private companies had an unfair advantage because the state sector still had to carry the costs of the power lines, and the state sector was becoming increasingly uncompetitive. So one of the things that AMLO tried to do, and when he came in, he really supported the state sector across a number of different areas. He wanted to push the oil company Pemex for oil production over the private sector. And in electricity, he wanted to kind of restore some of the primacy of the state sector. And so this law was part of a series of different initiatives for doing that. This particular law, which actually was voted down the other day, was focused on guaranteeing for the state sector at least a 54% market share and taking away some of the options that the private sector would have had to produce. Now, there are a lot of concerns. I mean, one of the concerns was that this would make electricity more expensive, which would hurt a lot of the production companies like car companies and things which depend on reliably or at least competitively priced electricity for their operations. So the fear, including for people like the Biden administration who focus on the environment, is that this would disincentivize or at least take away production from relatively clean sources of energy like natural gas and wind, and result in more production by dirtier carbon-based, which is at the core of CFE electricity generation. And so at the end of the day, a coalition voted it down. There was also some concerns that under the U.S.-Mexico trade agreement, USMCA, there's a prohibition of state-owned firms being favored. And so there was some understanding that if this actually had become law, this could lead to a new chapter in a trade war with Mexico, possibly the U.S. filing compensatory tariffs, which would have had other damaging effects on the Mexican economy. And so I think because this was one of AMLO's signature reforms to kind of restore the power of the state sector, he was very frustrated by that. But it's an ongoing struggle because AMLO continues to use his legislative majority with the Morena party to push CFE in other directions. And so this is not over yet.
What is the ambition here? Making controversy over electricity? Is that part of a larger scheme? For some time, Professor, I remember reading around the edges that AMLO believes in concentrating power in the executive. And this was true. I remember the example was in the military, concentrating power in his hands. I also believe it was true in other sectors like the energy sector, oil, for example. And at the midterm election, there was the talk that he wanted to gain a majority in order to rewrite or in some fashion reorganize what is and what is not constitutional. Are we looking at a campaign to build up the possibility of re-election or in some fashion to remain in authority after his term ends?
Two things, John. One is the concentration of political power in the executive. The other is the concentration of economic power in the state. I think what AMLO is doing with the CFE, the attempted legal reform, is the later. And this goes back to the philosophical difference long existing in Latin America and elsewhere between left and right. And so AMLO, like much of the other Latin American left, believes in a much larger power for the state in economic activity. He believes that the state-controlled oil company Pemex should have the lead in petroleum production despite its problems. He believes that the state-controlled electricity entity CFE should have the lead in electricity generation and in transmission. He believes, in a greater state role in providing health services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Having said that, and now, of course, under Mexican electoral law, AMLO only gets one shot. At the end of his sexenio, this will pass to somebody else. As a matter of fact, it's actually believed that his foreign minister, Marcelo Ebrard, is the one who really has aspirations to be the next president, probably through Moreno. But it's not clear how that's going to work out. But it is also clear that AMLO at the political level does believe in trying to, in a very transactional way, try to use executive power to overcome those who would be obstacles. And so there was a controversy a couple months ago where he tried to declare national emergency priority to basically be able to complete some of his major infrastructure projects, the new airport and other things that have been running into other difficulties. And there's some pushback there. There's some sense that in other ways that he's improperly manipulating the electoral situation to promote his party and his agenda. So there are a lot of criticisms about him excessively using executive power, which has always been a challenge in Mexico. But there are really two complementary sides of really are a series of concerns about how AMLO is exercising this power, whether it's good for Mexico democracy and whether it's good for the Mexican economy.
That brings us back. We just have a little more than a minute here. That brings us back to where we started in this conversation about migration. Is the opinion in Washington that the Mexican president is cooperating with the concerns of the Mexican-U.S. border or being difficult? Is there an opinion, Professor?
In Washington, there's a strong difference of opinion whether the Biden administration is treating AMLO too much with kid gloves, given some of the ways in which he's trampled on U.S. economic interests and potentially violated USMCA. There's also concerns that he has significantly decreased through the national security law the cooperation with the DEA and other organizations. On migration, there's a sense that he has given some cooperation, and indeed AMLO finds common interests because the Biden administration is talked about regularizing the status of Mexicans, something in which there is a lot of support from AMLO. And so immigration is one of the areas where there's probably been more cooperation because of the Biden administration's stance. But in a lot of other areas, I think there's concern that AMLO is undercutting U.S. interests in ways that perhaps the Biden administration has not been adequately vocal about defending those interests.
Professor Evan Ellis, Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College. To recover the two big elections that we addressed in our remarks, Colombia is first at the end of May with a second round to follow, and then Brazil later on in the year in October. Brazil, the second most populous state in the New World, profound for the future of Latin America, of the whole of the hemisphere. The New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.